Rock of Ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which double cure, save from wrath and make me pure.
Sing it again.
O Rock of Ages, O claim for me, let me hide in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin.
Right.
Oh, simply to,
oh, simply to
thy cross I cling.
Oh, sing it to him, church.
Make it come to thee for dress. Helpless, Lord, to thee for grace.
Savior,
your Lord, I got.
Oh, sing Rock of Ages now.
Rock of Ages, let for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? I'll tell you what, church gets better all the time, don't it? Just gets better all the time. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got several requests tonight we want to let you know about. An announcement Brother Michael wants us to make on behalf of the Bible school, I understand, was just a tremendous success. And there's a lot of people to thank, a lot of people to, I'm sure that worked really, really hard to make it a success. But Michael says he wants to thank all who helped make Bible school a success.
Sister Becky Johnson and all her kitchen help, the Linichecks for the baked goods, Brother John Linichek for all the hard work, Sister Sylvia Duggar for her baking, and a great big thank you to the teachers for all the unseen hours they put into Bible school that no one sees to make it a great time for the children. And thanks to all the helpers, their helpers. Thanks to Brother Rob and to Brother Brad for helping the teenagers. And most of all, thank the Lord Jesus for being with us all week and working with the weather to make that pleasing to everybody. We hope in some small way we have helped the children in their lesson and crafts to enjoy their walk with the Lord and in some way enrich their life as a Christian. Let's give all those that helped a real nice hand tonight. We certainly appreciate that, and I know that if you had children there that they were seeing some of the pictures and things, looked like they had a real good time. Looked like they probably learned a lot of things. Have a thank you card. I want to read to you tonight. Sister Teresa Lawson sends this to you, to the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for the beautiful flowers and the kind words I received on the passing of my mother. I love each and every one of you, and I will hold your thoughtfulness in my heart forever. Sincerely, Teresa Lawson. So we certainly appreciate that family, what they mean to this assembly. I just pray that God will help them during this time of grief that they're going through. The Lord's more than able to be with them. Now, I've got a special announcement tonight to make to you. Some of you probably already know it, but Brother Junior Davis is in the service tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is he in this room or is he over in the fellowship hall? Where is he? Somebody, Brother Junior, raise your hand back there. Look at him. He looks like he's just, it just looks real good tonight, Brother Junior. God bless you. We're glad to have you here tonight, buddy. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord just good, Brother Terry. The Lord is just good. Sister Bonnie Sumner sends this in to please pray for my son-in-law. He heard he's back today. Also, I have an urgent unspoken prayer request. I need some that I need the Lord to move for. My son-in-law's name is Billy Bentley, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Brother John and Sister Linda Taylor from Johnson City, New York. They stream the services. They have a friend who has lost 3 children due to miscarriages, and she is expecting a child again. And she's asked that the church would pray for their much wanted child and for her not to fear during this pregnancy. So let's just pray that the Lord would let that all work out to their good. We know he's more than able to meet that need tonight. Brother Keith Phillips wants us to remember him in prayer. Been having trouble sleeping, waking up every 2 hours, not rested when he gets up. So let's pray for Brother Keith tonight as we pray. Brother Daniel Barclay wants us to remember his mother. She was praying with a young a person that she seems better and thanks the Lord for continued recovery. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. I want to pray for Sister Boone. She fell today and has some bruises and scratches. Also has a urinary tract infection. She's in the Johnson City Medical Center. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Boone tonight. The Lord would be with her. I want to have here's a special unspoken prayer request for Sister Angela England. Let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Continue praying for Brother Tracy. I don't know if he's out of the hospital or what, but let's continue to remember our brother in prayer. I want to pray for a friend of Nadine Finch who has colon cancer, is scheduled for surgery on Monday. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Hannah Stiles who is having seizures and is in Vanderbilt Hospital. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. Please pray for the family of Alicia Hicks. She was a classmate of Abigail Blair. And it was killed in a car accident yesterday while driving home to visit her family. So we want to remember those needs of that family tonight. The Lord would be with them. Just commit it all unto the Lord. Brother Tony Wheaton from Canada sends this in to please pray for my wife's brother, Andrew Butt. He is 17 years old and he has a brain tumor. He is scheduled to have surgery on Monday to get the tumor removed. Because of where the brain tumor is, there is a much higher risk of serious complications. Please pray that everything will be okay. Thank you and may God bless. Well, we'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Junior also wants us to acknowledge tonight, Brother Junior Davis wants us to welcome his mother, Sister Clara Davis from Arizona. She's right back here. She said, raise your hand, sister. God bless you. We're glad to have you in this service tonight. Give her a nice hand tonight. Let me make this announcement tonight. Brother Barry Coffey will be hosting a men's meeting on October the 11th through the 13th in Newport, Tennessee. Age limits are 18 years and older. Details on the board out in the lobby. So just notice that, and that'll give you all the details that you need. And I believe that's got all of our announcements tonight. If we have any other visitors, we're glad to have you tonight. God bless you. Glad you're here. All those who are streaming, may God bless those folks as well from around the world. We have folks that watch these services. We trust they're a blessing. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Sing that chorus one more time. Rock of Ages. Clap for me. Sing it, Brother Harry. We'll help you a little bit.
Rock of Ages.
Oh, yes.
Clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters above from thy womb.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Which flow,
oh, now be of sin the double cure,
save from wrath and make me pure.
Brother Brad Yance, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit it all unto the Lord, Brother Brad. God bless you, buddy.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity we have to come back in your house again. Father, we want you to feel welcome in the service, Lord. We don't want you to stand in a corner, but we want you to walk these aisles, Father. Lord, I pray you've heard these requests that was mentioned, Lord. We expect testimonies, Father, that they're going to be well tomorrow, Lord. Father, thank you for what you've done for Brother Junior. May you just continue to be with him and strengthen him. Lord, you see the hands that was raised. Lord, you see the knees behind every hand. Father, I pray, may you just heal each heart, Lord, each body, Father. You took stripes upon your body in Pilate's hall for our healing. Lord, I pray that you anoint the congregation singing, the special singing, most of all, anoint Brother Donnie tonight, God. Help him to step aside, Father, and just speak to us and help us to get aside to speak here through us, Lord, to give us strength for our journey. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you tonight. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. As I said a few minutes ago, if you're a visitor here tonight, God bless you. We're glad to have you here tonight. Let's sing this song. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. Yes, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
For the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life is waiting, thank God will soon be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary.
Oh,
by the precious
church
blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for.
Oh, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment
the vessel is calling, get on board. Destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore.
Yes, sir.
We'll meet again our Savior and the loved ones who've gone on. There to live all eternity. Oh, yes, we're going
home. Oh, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'm leaving when He calls it right away. Yes, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Captain of the vessel, He's calling, church, get on board. And the destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore. Sing the rest of it.
Where we'll meet again, the Savior.
Hallelujah.
And our loved ones who've gone on.
Yes, sir, I believe it.
There to live through all eternity.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
We're going home.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. Oh yes, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, do you believe it tonight, church? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight, Sister Anna Lynch. If you'll come, get ready to sing for us tonight. I want to make mention of Brother Bill Yance. I understand he's doing quite a bit better, and we want to praise the Lord for that. Just commit him to the Lord and ask God to certainly continue to touch and be with our brother. But I believe he's doing quite a bit better, and we want to praise the Lord for that. So thank the Lord for that tonight. Let's enjoy our singer.
Your presence I find, Lord.
Sing this tonight as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Could you stand with me one more time tonight? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. How many of you want to have open eyes tonight to receive? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Yes, now open the eyes. Oh, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see. Open the eyes. Well, now open the eyes. Oh, Jesus.
Open the eyes.
Hallelujah.
I want to see you. Everybody now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. How do we want to see? Praise the Lord. What a privilege to be able to see Him. Amen. To be able to know Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Let's turn, if you would, and read together. Certainly an honor for us to be back together in the presence of God again. Glad to see Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy. If y'all flew back north from the south. You're a little bit behind the geese. I saw them a couple months ago. Amen. Let's read tonight about what we must and will have. Must and will have. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love. Now not he that loves, but he that actually dwells in love. Dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Strange, isn't it? We're going to have boldness in the day of judgment. I mean, when we're there, we're going to have boldness. Why? Because of love. We're not going to be judged. If you've got this love, you are not going to be judged. You have nothing to fear. Praise the Lord. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now we're going to pray, but before we do, Brother Bo Smeaton, his mother had taken a fall this week and broke her leg, and they took her to the hospital there in Dyersburg, and they had to take her out today to Jackson in a helicopter. Very serious situation. He texted me just a bit ago and wanted us to pray for her, that God would be merciful to her and help her. Also, Brother Bill, I don't know how much Brother Louis made known to you, but Brother Bill had his surgery this week. He's out of ICU and he's doing better. We just want to continue to pray for him, that God will just continue to strengthen him. Anybody else have a need in your heart? You'd like to make it known to the Lord tonight before we go to him in prayer. Now let's do the greatest honor and the greatest privilege that any mortal has. Brother Bam says it this way. the greatest privilege and the greatest honor that's been given to a mortal is to bow their heads, close their eyes, and call on Father God. We could say amen right now and go home and say it was good to be in church. If we can get that understanding, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach your great, magnificent, wonderful throne, to those of us in Christ Jesus, at one time we would have shuddered at that throne, but no longer. At one time we would have been terrified to think about approaching the throne of God, but no longer. Because you have done such a work in our hearts. Already on this side, we are experiencing the boldness which comes to those children who can call Abba, Father. Lord Jesus, as we approach your word tonight, we're asking for your help. Father, you see that I've studied, I've looked at many, many things to try to bring this to your children. Every day this week, Lord, I've studied, I've pondered, I've thought, I've prayed. Lord God, I pray that you would help me tonight, that I can be able to get out of the way. Help me, Lord, that in putting a sermon together, Lord, I might think something fits here and it might be better to fit over there, or a person might have a need that would lay out of the confines of the things that I've studied. Make me sensitive, Lord Jesus, from the time I start till the time we end this service. Make me sensitive to the presence of the living God. Then, Lord, I pray for Sister Smeaton, Lord Jesus. You see our sister, dear God, fallen and broke her leg in a very serious situation, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd move on her behalf. Dear God, I pray for Brother Bo and his family, that you'd help them, Lord. Father, we're just thankful, Lord, on another aspect. Brother Bill come through his surgery this week and doing better and able to talk now. And Lord, someone sent me a little video of yesterday of him sending me a greeting. And Lord, just earlier this week when I was there, he couldn't talk yet. How good it was to hear his voice. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you just continue to be with him. Then, Lord, there was many hands uplifted. No doubt the invisible audience of those that are streaming the service, wherever they're at tonight, they had needs as well as the visible ones. May you be mindful of us, Lord. I pray, dear God, there'll be things of eternal value that'll be accomplished out of this service tonight, Lord. We know if there are, that it'll be you that did it. So we're looking for great things. Father, we did not come here tonight looking for just little teaspoon drops. We're not here tonight looking for a little dessert bowl. I brought a platter to church, Lord. I ain't looking for no dessert. I don't want just a little cup full. I want a barrel full, Lord. Speak to us. Minister to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on love made perfect. Love made perfect. Let's look again at the meanings of the word perfect in verse 17 and verse 18. We looked at it last Sunday, but just to refresh your mind on it. Herein is our love made teleo. Herein is our love made teleo. Fulfill, complete, to carry through completely. Add what is yet wanting in order to render a thing full. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now you'd think, now reading this verse, and then reading the next verse, which goes with the same train of thought, even though it has the same English word, perfect, you would think it would mean the same thing. But look at it in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect, the English word again, but the Greek word, teleios. Teleios. So man man, M-A-N, man, comma, of full age, brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing, necessary to completeness, full grown, an adult of full age or mature. Now, whenever we are truly born again, and our journey starts in time from the soul, and we have actually been touched by our representation from another dimension, something drops down within us. Brother Branham likened it to something about the size of a button on your shirt. Amen. That something begins to happen within you. Even though it did not originate in the earth or originate in time. But yet there come a time in time that it took an effect upon you. So we could say then, from that time, I was a different person. From that time, something began to change me. And from that time, I started my journey toward heaven. But yet really, it was not in time that it started. But it's when in time that you began to realize there was something about you that was more than just an ordinary mortal. Now, then when we talk about perfect love, is perfect love different from that love which originally came to us by the new birth? Is it a different sphere of love? Is it a different kind of love? Or is it the same love, only grown to a deeper, more sincere, more mature degree of love? Now, if truly we receive the genuine love of God, now not us loving God, but Him loving us. For we were not even lovable in the state that we were in. And before we could truly love, we had to be truly loved.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Before we could be truly loved, we had to be truly loved. You may not even remember it. But something struck your heart of genuine eternal love that gave a consensus to your soul that made you capable of receiving love, so in turn you could love.
Amen.
Now, we love Him because He first loved us. I know, as I say, you may not be able to remember the moment that it happened and the very time that it happened, but something had to happen to you from eternity that would help you to be lovable and to be able to love Him back. Because in a mortal sphere, all you could do is love in a mortal way. And a mortal could never be able to love divinely or of an eternal essence. And as pride is the very essence of sin, so this type of love is the very essence of God's nature. Now, as I quoted to you last week, the Brother Ram said, Satan cannot love. So whenever we say then that God is love, we're not talking about God is human love, or that God is affection, but God is agape. So how then can we ever be able to love in an agape realm when we are pure mortals unless something from an agape God would come down and touch us and make us to where then we could respond to that love? And then even in that, it wasn't like that it was always there, the love part, but and one day it woke up. The seed was there and every attribute that would ever manifest was in the seed. But the love itself did not spring forth as a full-grown man, but it started out as a wee baby. So even complete love or perfect love may take many, many years, as would perfect faith, as many things about the attributes of God that grow in us. It's just the way that God chose to do it. Now when we look then at what perfect love curtails, what it involves, and see how that John says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out, as we looked at on Sunday, cast out, to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. So perfect love casteth out fear. So then baby love or initial new birth love does not have the ability or the degree or depths or temperance of love to cast out from that newly converted child of God every slavish type of fear. It may be many years before that individual will be able to grow and mature in God and learn more about His Word. And when we're talking about this now, we're not talking about just learning more of the knowledge of the Word that'll give you more perfect love. So it's not just about, well, I've been around so many years and I know more than I've ever known. You might have been around forever and not advanced hardly any in your love. A person can be around the move of God for many, many years and really never advance a whole lot from revelation to revelation because they're advancing from knowledge to knowledge. That's not what it's all about. It's not been able to memorize more quotes and dates and, well, Brother Bram was here and John done this and Paul done that and Peter done that. You could know all of that and still not be able to have real, genuine faith. So we grow from revelation to revelation as we grow and we change from glory to glory as unto the image of the Lord. So then as we're growing in that image, we're also maturing in our faith and we're maturing in our love. And this is why that perfect faith could never be attained to in the days of the Reformation. Now they had a faith that would carry them through and it would actually allow them to come up in the resurrection, but they could never be the resurrection. The rapture could never have been called in the days of Luther because his message would have never had the capability of producing a rapturing faith. They just had enough faith to defy the Catholic Church. They didn't have enough faith, many of them, to quit their drinking their beer, get rid of smoking, this and that and the other. So he could have never called for a rapture in that age. There must be an age when the true word will be restored back again that will bring perfect faith back. We're in that time, friends. Now then with that perfect faith will come a perfect love. It will come a perfect trust. It will come all of the perfection of God that has been down through the ages, parts of course revealed in the first church age, and then it was lost through the darkness of the church ages as it progressed. Now then the fear of man come in, the fear of systems come in, the fear of all kinds of things come in, and as God is dealing with the individual, so God has dealt with the church ages in the same way. Now there is no fear in love, but he said perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. Now look what fear does. Fear brings torment. So fear and love, a person that has matured love cannot be afraid of every day of their life. You know, they're going to die of a heart attack. They're going to die of a stroke. They're going to miss their rapture. Oh God, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. They live under constant anxiety and worry. Friend, we're not living where we need to be if we're doing that. Now I'm not saying that Satan cannot attack us, but that is not what God intends for his children living in under the influence of perfect love. God does not want you living that kind of a life. Your body was not made to live under that type of stress. Your body was made to have bursts of cortisol and adrenaline and all that. It was not made to live under 24 hours a day. And you need to tell yourself right now and let the devil know in case he's living or hearing to you that you are not planning on living the rest of your life absorbed in cortisol and adrenaline. That you're going to live a life that has peace and joy and happiness and tranquility in God. It's up to you. You want to live a life full of cortisol and a life full of all these other things and be an absolute nervous wreck? Or do you want to live a life full of the peace of God? The peace that passeth. But Brother Donnie, where in Laodicea? I ain't seen no expiration on this scripture right here up to 2010 or 2011 or 2013. But my Bible tells me he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as long as there's a bride on the earth, these scriptures will run right on to the end. Now watch this. So God gives us this deposit, this birth of this baby, as it were. Starts in our heart. Now in essence, it is perfect. In essence, by character, it is totally, totally God. It is not human love improvised. It is not human love on steroids. The love of God is not human love on steroids. It is a total different love from a total different source. It's not your love souped up. It's not your love fancified. It's not your love redone. It's not your love. It's not my love. It's God's love. Though it may be small in size, though it may be so very, very young in its understanding, yet in its essence, it comes from the same source of eternity that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now He, of course, does not have to grow in love and let His love mature. But He knows that we as mortals must grow in understanding. We must grow even in grace. We must grow in many, many things. So He paces love exactly in the same way. Now, watch this. Whenever we look back at this, let's turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And watch now as we break into this, at Paul dealing with the Corinthian church and how that they were a very gifted church. They were a very loving church, no doubt. But they had all kinds of problems among them. They had all kinds of carnality. Now, they really emphasize a lot on gifts and healings and tongues and miracles and things like that. And there's nothing against that, nothing to say against that part. But they had such emphasis on that, but they had missed a very important element. No doubt they felt so mature. Now remember, every one of us can have different attributes of this mature type of love. And as we go to reading this tonight and tomorrow, the Lord willing, we will look at these attributes, and some of you will find you have already arrived at certain characteristics of this divine nature of God. And you can already deal with certain things about it. You say, well, that don't bother me, and that don't bother me. I'd never want that for anybody. I'd never feel that way, and I don't wish that way. But yet, more than likely, there's probably not very many people here that have fully grown and fully matured in every characteristic of perfect love. It does not mean now that you don't have that essence of that love. You follow me? You have the seed, or you have the baby form or the teenage form spiritually, however you are. And it does not mean you don't love God, that you don't love the saints, because it's not yet fully mature. But it means you have it and it's on its way, and by God's grace, it's going to grow up. Amen. Amen. Now watch this and keep this in mind from last week. That self-sacrifice can be, listen carefully, self-sacrifice can be self-centered. So we can give so much of ourselves, but if we're doing it from the wrong motives, it can still be so self-centered that God does not receive it. Because we're doing it for other people to know about it, other people to see about it. You know, we want everybody to know what we do, whatever more. So God does not want our self-sacrifice to be self-centered. He wants our self-sacrifice to be Christ-centered, which means then that we're not looking for everybody and their brother to know everything that we do. We're doing it for His glory and not for our own. But you know it is. Some people, if they fast, they got to tell everybody they're fasting. If they help buy the widow some coal, they just can't stand it. They've got to tell everybody what they're doing. And you realize they've got their reward when they told that. So then you look and you wonder about why did they even do it? So everybody else would know that they done it. So you'd been better off to went ahead and eat. At least you wouldn't been gnawing your guts out when you're sitting in church. You'll be able to concentrate a little better. So what we do for God, what we do for the body, we do not want our self-sacrifice to be self-centered, but He wanted to be Christ-centered. Now watch this as Paul catches this in 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Boy, if we find a preacher like that in this message, he's the man, ain't he? Not if you're a scriptural taught Christian, he ain't. If you don't have love, you don't acknowledge Him as the man. You acknowledge Jesus as the man anyway. Now watch, so a person, now you know Paul was this type of an individual, preacher, that he would preach from extremes. Now, no person is going to have all faith, no person is going to have all knowledge, no person is going to have all this, but Paul said it in an extreme, which many preachers do that, I preach the same way, I preach in extremities, and Paul would set it in such a way that it would be as if though one man would be able to attain to all of this, and one man won't. But he put it in such an extreme that if one man could do it, If one man was capable of having all knowledge and he understood everything there was to understand, and he still didn't have love, then he was absolutely nothing. If one man was able to attain to all faith, and he did not have this love, which had grown up love, now he would have to have love in order to understand all mysteries, because he's got to apply himself to understand. And if he had faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So in order to have faith, he would have to have some self-sacrifice to go to church or read the Bible to be able to do certain things. It wouldn't just fall on his lap. So there were certain things he would have to do in order to have this of what he would have. But Paul said he could do all of that, and he could love but not have the right temperance of love. You follow me? Now watch, let's go on. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. Notice now, self-sacrifice, being self-centered, renders you as nothing. It renders you as if though you have given none of these things to God. Because it comes from what altar? It comes from the altar of your heart based upon the altar of self-centeredness. God does not receive sacrifice from the altar of our self-centeredness. He receives it from the altar with Jesus Christ on that altar. So what we do, friend, do it unto the Lord. Don't do it as yourself. Don't brag about the things you're doing. I've done the Don't do that. Don't make that the altar that you give your time to God on. Don't make that the altar that you do things for the body. But make what you do for God and His body, offer everything you do on the altar of Jesus Christ. And then you'll walk away from that altar saying, I'm not even worthy. I'm not even, oh my, what in the world could I do? But if you walk away from there feeling justified and feeling like you're something, you'll be like the man that Jesus said in the parable, that the publican come in and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm this and that and the other. And the Pharisee said, I fast twice a week, I pay tithes, I do this, I do the other. Don't you see what he was doing? He was offering these things to God on what altar? On the altar of self. Himself. Self-centeredness. This is what I done. I do this. I do that. Jesus said this other man went more justified to his house than that one did. Now watch. So we don't want what we do to be on the altar of being self-centered. Notice again how Paul says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Now when you face it, this is the ultimate of human sacrifice. Because once you give your life physically, whether it's beheaded or being burned, you can give no more. So what is worth more? $5 million in the bank or your life? How many rich people that are millionaires and billionaires, how much would they pay for 3 hours of life? How much would they pay for 10 years of life if their life could be? How many millions or billions do you think it'd be worth? How much would the Rockefellers pay? How much would, you know, the richest people in the world, if they could go somewhere and buy 10 more years of life, what would it be worth? So life would be more valuable than their money would be. But yet Paul said that I could actually offer my body. Now remember, they were not burning people at this time in history. They were beheading them. They were doing other things. This is prophetic. They were not offering them on an altar of a cross. But he said, I could actually walk up. Not them come in the house and find you hiding. But I could actually walk up and say, I want to give my life today at the post. Burn me alive. Now, wouldn't you have to love God to do that? Wouldn't you have to love Him somehow to some degree? But you could love Him to a degree and not be mature. Well, glory. Now watch, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me. You are kidding me. Nothing. You mean zero. You mean one penny less than a penny. Nothing. You mean I've done all
all of this, and if I don't do it off of the altar that Christ is laying upon, God don't even accept it. Mm-hmm. Now watch how he goes from this self-centeredness into verse 4 and gives us the description about charity. Charity suffereth on. Now remember, this matured is what cast out fear. This immature will allow you to be scared of hell, scared of missing the rapture, scared of this, scared of that, scared of that, scared of this. Still go to church, believe God, believe the message, but not be free from fear. Charity suffereth long. Oh my. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Praise the Lord. Now remember, this is the kind of love that casts out fear. That liberates us from all slavish fear. Now watch this church being gifted and being spiritual, as we would call it. But they were spiritual in the realm of charisma gifts. They were spiritual in the realm of pneuma and pneumatic, which was the influences of the Spirit. So they had learned to give to the Spirit of God, to become charismatic, which is where we get the word from, to where they could yield their spirit, yield their tongue, yield their mouths, and that they, you know, they were, maybe they were Romans and they were Christians and they were whatever more, and in their services the Spirit of God would move on this brother or that sister over there, and they'd raise up and start speaking in Chaldean. And this brother over here would stand up and interpret word for word what they said. And they never heard a word of Chaldean in their life. Man, they were so gifted that maybe out in the vestibule before church, somebody was sick and just a lay member had come through and heard them say they're sick. They'd go over and lay hands on them and God heal them before church ever start. But they had envy, jealousy, selfishness, pride, arrogance. Gifts don't eliminate that. And a person can be gifted and do all of that and not have real love of God. The mature love of God. You follow me? Now just cause y'all ain't saying amen, that don't mean y'all don't like me, right? That don't mean y'all ain't with me, right? Cause y'all ain't saying nothing. Okay, I just want to make sure now. I'm trying to figure out where we all are now. Now what? So charity suffereth long. So they were contentious and strife was among them. Now watch, Paul is going to break down this mature love and show the divine attributes of what it will do. So they were suspicious. They were unkind to one another. They were misjudging one another's motives and objectives. Oh my, they just had some real spiritual major issues. Which was all inconsistent now with mature love. But were they not charisma? Were they not very gifted? Oh yes! And a person can be all of that and yet not have this full mature love. So Paul, you believe Paul's led of the Holy Ghost to be able to write this? Y'all believe Paul's a man of God? Y'all do know that there's no historical evidence that Paul ever lived, don't you? Are y'all sure you can believe this Bible? There was no historical evidence that King David ever lived until 1993. I just feel sorry for those poor mortals who said he never lived up till that time. And then they found themselves to be liars. In the wrong dimension, of course. I don't believe Paul was just trying to get back at the people. I don't think he's preaching on them. I think he was led of the Holy Ghost. To try to help. Now, no doubt he had to sting them. No doubt he had to burn them. And my, you know, it really hurt his heart to have to deal with this. But he's a man of God. He's got to do it.
Amen.
Now, watch. He says, charity suffereth long. And the Greek word here that is used for this denotes slowness to anger or passion. Long suffering, patient endurance, forbearance. It is opposed to haste. To passionate expressions and thoughts. To irritability. It denotes the state of mind which can bear long when oppressed, provoked, when one speaks to injure us. So now this is what mature love acts like. It doesn't act like a child. Charity, praise the Lord, charity suffereth long. And is kind. To be good natured, gentle, tender, affectionate. It wishes well. It is not harsh, sour, or ill natured. Now you folks think this is hard on you. You're just sitting here and you've been really quiet and nice. Y'all just now hearing this, right? I've been looking at this for months. It's a wonder I can even crawl myself out that door and preach. He said, Lord, have mercy. It just makes us feel so bad. How do you think it makes me feel? And I've been looking at this for days on end. Courage, my brother. Courage. We'll make it. Oh my. The idea is that under all provocation and ill usage, it is gentle and mild. Hatred prompts to harshness and bitterness and vengeance. A man who truly loves another will be kind to that individual. And desirous to see good things happen to him. Well, praise the Lord. We all need some growing. Now watch. Charity suffers long. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Now this word means to be jealous for or against any person. The sense is that love does not envy others for the happiness which they enjoy. It delights in their welfare.
Amen.
And their as their happiness is increased, their endowments, their rank, their reputation, their wealth, and their health, real love rejoices. Lord have mercy. So what you're saying, Brother Donnie, is that real love, whenever I'm struggling to pay my bills, real love will see other people blessed above and beyond what they need, and real love in me will rejoice for them and not be envious. Praise the Lord Jesus. Real love in a musician's heart will allow him or her to play second fiddle or third or fourth or fifth or 27th and will rejoice that they're able to go to church with those who can play first. Real love in a preacher's heart. Real love, real mature love will not get jealous of another man who has a bigger church. Or is called to preach conventions, though he himself may never preach one. Do you realize, friends, and I know that you do, that a person can be envied
simply because they are happy. Most happy people aren't envied by happy people. They're envied by unhappy people. Glory to God. Why? Because we're miserable. And we think everybody else around us ought to be miserable. And if we've got anything to do with it, they're going to be. So anybody that's happy, anybody that's got victory, we don't like it. Why don't we like it? Lack of love. Now, real genuine love, and look at that individual that is happy. Maybe they're on the mountain when you're in the deepest of valleys. Look, friends, as a pastor, I am so grateful to God that God alternates folks in the church. While he's got some in the valley, some's on the mountain. If he didn't, I'd be... If all of y'all ever go through the valley at the same time, don't look for me because you won't find me. They said, where'd he go? I said, last time we seen him, he was going to Atlanta, wide open to Mozambique. With no return address. But God will allow one family to go through the deepest of valley, and they're in there for a while, and they'll come out. While that family was up there, 14 more families was on the mountain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when they're going down on the other side of the mountain, down the end of the valley, this family which was in the valley is going up the mountain. They're saying, glory, hallelujah. Oh my. But if we really loved right, we would look at that family that's on the mountain and said, praise God, I'm so glad they're up on the mountain. I'm so glad, I trust they're praying for me. But most folks without the right temperance of love, they allow themselves into that individual and they will allow Satan to use that individual against them. Now look at them. If you love God, how come they're so blessed and they're going through this and they're... I hate that old feel sorry for yourself, devil. I don't really care if I get to kick that old homosexual devil in hell or not. I don't really care if I get to kick that old lust devil in hell or not, but I hope the Lord lets me be on the committee of that feel sorry for yourself, devil. I'd like to be one amongst many of the pastors that grabs that dude by the hair of the head, kicks him in the seat of the britches, and kicks him right down into hell and say, ah, be gone, you devil! I hate that thing. You ain't got no reason to feel sorry for yourself. If the Lord God has given you one speck of mercy, you ought to be the happiest person in this world. If he never answers another prayer, if he saves you, you've got enough to rejoice over through eternity. If you're sick every day of your life and you're never rich and you're never wealthy, he has blessed you if he saved you and give you the truth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You see, envy commonly runs in the same line or rank. A preacher will envy a preacher. A converter guy will envy a converter guy. A painter will envy a painter. A singer, a singer. A songwriter, a songwriter. A piano player, a piano player. You ever see a piano player envious of a ditch digger? I got a problem with him. He smells like a polecat, and I want to smell like a polecat. Look, he's got calluses on his hands. I'm so jealous of them calluses. We can help you make some. But it's generally of the same rank. Well, praise the Lord. Wonder what kind of church we'd have on this hill. When, and I do say when, the elect of God of this assembly, how many ever there are, 300, 500, how many ever there are, grow up and move into this sphere of love. Look out, devil. Praise God. Oh my. Now, if we really loved with mature love,
we would rejoice for and with others when they are blessed, when they are benefited, in the same way we do ourselves. But you see why we can't? Because we're not mature in love. So we get a promotion. Oh, God answered prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My rich uncle got out of the poor house and he sent me $5,000. Oh, hallelujah. But if you heard somebody else in the church, their rich uncle got out of the poor house and they got $5,000. That devil. You know what the Bible says about the rich? You know what the Bible says about what? I know what the Bible says about love. So if I need $1,000 in the mail, and I hear you get $2,000, Brother Chart, and you really didn't need it. I know you would. If I love Brother Charlie, right, I should be able to rejoice and say, praise God. Maybe the Lord sent Brother Charlie that in advance. Maybe something's going to face him or something like that. And say, that ain't fair. How come I always get treated that way? You need to go back and hear the rest of my sermons on affirmations. But what do we do instead of loving? Now remember, for every one of these attributes of perfect love, the flesh has a counterproductive attribute to offer in its place. Which is naturally much easier for us to do. Many of us are professional enviers. We're professional puffers. Not Winston's. We're professional enviers and professional puffers and professional vaunters. Lord Jesus. This is my affirmation as I wrote this down, sitting back there in the office before I came out. I must and will have perfect love. Just get ready, son. It's coming your way. Anybody want to join with me? I must and I will. Not only must, but it's just, I'm going to. As a matter of fact, I'm well on my way already. Oh, glory. Notice then, so the real kind of love does not envy, it has no problem with its arrogance or its pride, in that others can be able to be blessed. Brother Darrell reminded me of something a while back. He's told me several times of this that I told him many, many years ago. Don't remember even telling him, but he said, you remember you told me this? I said, no, honestly, I don't. And he said, you told me years ago when you first came here. But there, a man is not ready and fit to be blessed by God and used by God until he can rejoice and see someone else used before him. Now you think if each of us would take that attitude, we're looking heaven in the face. Now watch, charity suffereth long and is kind, envious not, vaunteth not itself. You can see the Greek word there. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But to boast oneself, a self-display, employing rhetorical embellishments and extolling oneself excessively. You talking about blowing your own horn. Some folks have got an entire brass section, don't they? Woo! Boy, that was a good one, Lord. Thank you. Amen. A horn wouldn't cover some folks. They got a whole section. But now remember, the flesh in every individual, even of those that are converted and those who have this kind of love in their soul, your flesh is still capable of doing every one of these things. And just because you reach that spot, it's not like, okay, I've reached there, I'll never do that again. That's not true. Yeah. As long as you've got this in its state of unconverted state, and even though you've got perfect love, this will still try to pull you back into the ways of dealing with the way it's used to. Because it don't like perfect love. It don't want to do it that way, but it's going to do it whether it wants to or not. Hallelujah! As long as I'm in this house, it's going to obey me because I'm the boss. Oh my. Notice this vauntous now. Does not prefer himself before others ambitiously. A glory tug or a boasting. Acting rashly to promote his own glory. Satisfies own intemperate desires or lust. Whew. Don't have to be the biggest preacher, the best singer, the best musician, the greatest deacon. How would you categorize one clod of dirt better than another? I mean, I've seen different colors of them. Is one clod of dirt better than another clod of dirt, or is it not just a clod? Am I missing something? But now if I'm comparing your soul and yours, and it's an attribute of God, oh man, now that's a total different thing. It's worth more than a million worlds. Watch now, charity. Charity will not puff itself up, vaunt itself. Now, Paul don't just stop there with vaunt us. But he also uses the word puffed, which is fusio. That's what's wrong with a lot of us. We fusio too much. We fusifo ourselves. Any of y'all ever seen them puffer fish? Some Christians are puffer Christians. Look what the word means. To inflate, blow up, cause to swell up. What a word to use to describe Christians. But this is the opposite now. True love. Don't blow up. It don't. What are you doing? I'm puffing myself up. True love does not have inner tube religion. It's not about us anyway. It's not about what we can accomplish, even what we can do. We do all that we can do and we consider ourselves unworthy servants. Right? So puffed is to inflate, to blow up, to cause one to swell up, to puff up, make proud, to be puffed up, to bear oneself loftily, or be proud. So it's not inflated in a sense of importance, for it knows it has nothing except what it has received. I really have a hard time, friends, understanding how preachers can be led of God to preach things and study things and pride themselves in what God gave them. I don't understand that. I hope to God I never break into a realm to where I can be proud of what God gives me. I don't understand any man that can be sitting in his study, driving down the road, listen to a song on the radio, all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves on his heart, inspires a thought, it's like a bomb that goes off in his head, and he goes to study, and knowing that inspiration comes from God, he goes to church and preaches it, and people are blessed and helped, and he feels an element of arrogance. And pride. I mean, if he was the one who had the thought, he was the one who provided the inspiration. He was the one that provided the intellect on how to study. He was the one who anointed himself. He was the one who had gifted himself to have these people to believe in him. I could understand where he might get elevated. But since all the above are gifts from God, how can any preacher take pride and arrogance and puffing theirself up, or any songwriter, or singer, or musician, or whatever we are for God?
Lord Jesus. Charity suffereth long. Let's recap this verse. Y'all are enjoying it so much, I just think we need to go back to it again. Charity, y'all's cup's running over, ain't it? Man, I can tell it. Y'all just having so much fun. I don't know when y'all have had so much fun going to church. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Now realize in an age that we're living where anything goes. You can live anyway, dress anyway, talk anyway. There's no black and white anymore. Everything is gray. Nothing's wrong or right anymore. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. But God don't quite feel that way. God has always been a God of behavior and conduct. We're living in an age and folks think they can live and dress any way they want to live. Lord willing, maybe after this series, we'll look at some of these things from the scripture and see what the Bible says about modest apparel. And you'll find out when Brother Branham said the things he said, even though he may not have quoted chapter and verse, he's getting exactly from the Bible. And you look up the word modest and tell me how a woman putting on breeches can be in modest apparel or a tight dress. Praise the Lord. Now this is the nature of the Holy Ghost. So there will be something then on the other side that will come and try to tell the flesh that don't matter. I don't matter anymore. My, that's old fashioned. That's old fogey. We still believe the same thing the old shout Methodists used to believe 150 years ago. You know, 200 years ago, the Baptists would not allow their women to paint their face, cut their hair, or wear pants. The Methodists would not. The Presbyterians would not hundreds of years ago. Come on, church. So we're still believing the same thing they believed years ago because they taught it was wrong. They wasn't even in the message. So love does not behave itself unseemly. It's conduct improper or disgracefully in a manner to deserve reproach. Love seeks that which is proper or becoming in the circumstances and relations of life. It prompts the due respect for superiors. Take this one attribute right here and look at the folks that's pulling away from the message and judge their attitude. Amen. By the word, not by me and you. Do they respect superiors? Do they have respect for men of God who've preached and labored in the word? And you want that? Is that the spirit you want? This is what I want. Oh, glory. Produces veneration and respect for their opinions. Prompts to proper regard for inferiors and despises not their position. You see, love, no matter who's got it, it knows how to love above or below or in the middle. Now some folks, oh my, boy, they can get brownie points as we said. Man alive, they know how to love and love and love and say all the good kind of things, but they don't know how to treat anybody underneath them right. The real love of God can treat inferior, superior, demerior, whatever mirror they are. The real love of God knows how to treat them all on the same level. Whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they know how to say good grammar or not, it don't make one bit of difference to the real love of God because the Lord Jesus looks at the housewife. He looks at the washwoman that may be as ignorant as she can be. She may not know one Greek word. She may not know one Hebrew word, but she loves God. And the love of God can love her like the most consecrated prophet. Amen. Oh my. Can I go just a little farther? Now watch, it does not behave itself unseemly. seeketh not her own. What a peculiar thing to say. To identify agape as a female. Her? Charity seeketh not her. Now is God a woman? So who's this her? Where's it come from? It's that attribute of him that's now living in a feminist body. This is the spirit, the bride's spirit. You see, we'll look at it, Lord willing, Wednesday night, but those who are in such harmony with the Word of God for this hour, when John the Revelator moves into the dialogue with the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation chapter 22, as we looked at it the other night, when Jesus finally comes up to the end of the book, and he puts his own personal stamp of approval on that book, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he goes to describing what he is. Oh my. And he says some great attributes about himself. All of a sudden, the Bible says, and the Spirit, and the Bride. Said, come. Oh my. She got so inspired when he was talking about who he was. Oh glory. And you look at the Greek there. It's not that it was the Spirit and the Bride being a separate thing, but there was the Spirit in the Bride. Said, come. Why? Because the Bride is saying on earth what he's saying in heaven. Notice what mature love doesn't do. Seeketh not her own. That is her own praise, her own profit, or her own pleasure. Either in the neglect of others or the hurt of others. Charity is not selfish, but generous. The sense is that a man under the influence of charity does not make his own happiness and salvation the main or leading thing of his life. But he accompanies it with the salvation and the leading and the bonding of others in the same body. Glory. The real love of God does not seek just her own. Don't worry, well, it's me and my wife and our three kids. I ain't worried about nobody else. No help. You don't have perfect love. Well, I don't come to church for fellowship. I come to hear the preaching of the word and I get up and leave and I go home. You don't have perfect love. Charity does not come just to get what she can get up and go home. Somebody might need your handshake. They might need that smile on your face. You never know whenever they're really, really down and really going through something. And charity is able to be able to reach out. Maybe you might not personally even like that individual's makeup, but the love of God in your heart will like them whether you like one another humanly or not. But we go to judge them by we are and what we pick about who we want to give the love of God to. That ain't yours in the first place. That's His love. So the love of God in your heart and the love of God in my heart loves one another whether we like one another's flesh or not. Oh my. You never know. The Lord might use you to say a kind word to somebody and it might break that old thing between you anyhow. Amen. Praise the Lord. My, watch this. Let me close. Brother Ben said a man who lives a life for their self lives a selfish life. We must live for others. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we've got to have a feeling for one another. And therefore, when you do all you know how to do, then when you lay down at night, well, you know and you have the consolation knowing that you have tried your best. Again, he says, each day I want to live not for myself. If I live for myself, I live a selfish life. Listen to me carefully. A selfish life is a devilish life. A selfish life is not a Christ-centered life. I thought the Lord was giving us a little reprieve from so many affirmations. Y'all may want to go back on the affirmation trail. Oh my. Notice how Brother Brim says this. I want to live for others and give what strength I have. Not to myself. Not to my own pleasure. But for the benefit of others. That'll build the kingdom of God. I find it amazing, friends. When you look at the people around that are picking Brother Branham and some of the ones who've been in the message and now left and they're trying to find all these faults and all this, that, and other. And when you read what they say about Brother Branham, and of course most of them didn't know him anyway, but then you read what the people who was here whenever he was alive will read their books of those who were critics of Brother Branham when he was here. Two total different men. Even his critics that knew him in the flesh never said he was a deceiver. They just said he was wrong. But some of these poor people that have been around the message and left it and saying that Brother Branham was a false prophet and that Brother Branham was a deceiver. And you read their words and then you go over here to men who rubbed shoulders with him. Men who were in his meetings. Men who preached with him. Men who saw him. And you realize what these people are? They've been deceived. If they would read the writings of the men who were with him, who rubbed shoulders with him, who talked with him, who was around him and saw him in this, they would know how deceived they are.
Amen.
Even his enemies, when he was here and alive, even his enemies then didn't say, why? Because they say there's something about that man, the love of God, the atmosphere, on and on and on and on they would go. Why? Because there was something that could not be impersonated. It's the same with you and I. We might jump. We might holler. Somebody standing right by you might get down your holler exactly. Somebody might impersonate my leg kick exactly. Somebody might do your crying like you do. Your bottom lip goes. And your hand goes up. You know, this one goes up that window. Somebody right beside you might go. But if this is in your heart, this can't be impersonated. Quiver your lip like mine, shake your finger like mine, shake your leg the way I shake mine. But brother, sister, without this, listen, we are not going in the rapture. We can be the deepest church, whoever that is, anything else, because we're not known by that. Wherever the so-called deepest church is in the message, and the deepest preacher. See how they deal with others. See what their mission endeavors are. Are they to help other brothers build churches? Or is it to help them build churches only if they go along with their doctrine? Or is their missionary endeavors to get their messages to them? And the outlook of their church. What is their church missionary endeavor? Is it to help the poor? Is it to help give our brothers and sisters books and messages and so on? Or is it to get the message of Donnie Reagan? Let's stand. Y'all's hand clap reminded me of Brother Bam's old car. I think I can, I think I can. Y'all started out. Praise the Lord. Y'all made it, didn't you? Well, let's go down the other side going, I thought it could, I thought it could, I thought it could, I thought it could, I thought it could. Oh, children. What have we accomplished? Have we missed this? What have we accomplished? We may talk about such wonderful things, such deep things. We may send money here and send offerings there and do this and that and the other. But if we miss this, this is what Brother Branham experienced in the sixth dimension. Remember what his wife told him? This is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. Perfect love. So they wasn't going anywhere. They wasn't tired of being there. Everything there had it. And everything going there must have it. Praise God. So my affirmation of this service tonight is, I must, I will have perfect love. Let me be honest with you. There's part of these attributes I'll preach to you tonight and tomorrow. I have no problem with them. I've got them down because they don't bother me. But there's some of them I struggle with. Brother Tony. You. Yes, me. You saw a while ago, didn't you, what I took off my back? It wasn't wings. It was a suit coat. I'm a wingless preacher. I preached to wingless people. Let's read our opening scripture. We'll look at it again in the morning, Lord willing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is agape. And he that dwelleth in agape dwelleth in God. I don't want to come and go. I don't want to visit. You understand? I don't want to visit in agape and then go back to being me. I want it to be me. I want to live in it. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love, not his love, but our love made perfect, to be completed, to add it to that which is lacking, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He didn't say he didn't love or didn't have any love at all, but he's just not made perfect. That's where I am. That's where I am. I'm being made perfect in love. Anybody there with me? Are we going to keep growing? Praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh, Jesus. I know these things don't make us rejoice, Lord. As I've been looking at them and reading them, it's made me feel so sad in ways. Because I've seen I've failed in avenues of this, Lord. But yet, Lord God, I don't want to let my failures, and they are not going to stop me. Because I will mature in love. I must and will have grown up love. Lord Jesus, where I can do something for those who would do nothing for me. Love those who would hate me. And not do it from an altar of self-centeredness, but self-sacrifice on the altar of the atonement, Christ. But I would do it without anyone even knowing it, with no one knowing anything about it. Help us, Lord. May you search our hearts tonight, Father. Paul said, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So we're not comparing ourselves to Laodicea, a backslid message person. In many ways would look better than most any church member, would have a better conduct and a character about them. To compare Abraham to Lot would be no comparison at all. To compare Lot to the Sodomites, the Bible said it vexed his righteous soul. But that's comparing him to a bunch of sodomites. But to compare him to Abraham, there was 99 cents difference. So Abraham was a silver dollar, and Lot was a penny. And I've never found anywhere where Abraham ever prayed to up the value of Lot. So when the kings of Kedorlaomer and all the kings came, and Abraham won the victory and brought Lot back, he never cashed in his value and even tried to bring Lot back to his church or back to the message, as it were. Lot had found his place in Sodom. So Abraham never tried to go to the mint and rerun Lot and increase his value. But he just went and helped him and let him go his destiny. No doubt it hurt him. He was his nephew, and according to Josephus, he had adopted him as his own son. I wonder if Lot and Miss Lot could have put up a website in that day and entitled it, "Why I Left the Message." I wonder what things they'd have to say about Abraham. They could have said on that website that Abraham lied, and it would have been true. They could have said that Abraham got out of the will of God and backslid and went down the land of Egypt. And it would have been true. They could have said that Abraham taught Ishmael that he was to be the heir. And it would have been true. Since the Bible mentions Abraham as being the first prophet, I wonder what folks would have said if they would have heard Mr. and Miss Lot's testimony of why I left Abraham's church. He has no love. He's too hard. Always preaching on this, preaching on that. Kind of thinks he's the only one going. Thinks he's special. No doubt they could have said all kinds of things. But the prophet said, Abraham and Sarah up underneath that oak, the way was hard, the grass was all gone, the water was dried up, and they was having it tough. But he said, little did they know, that morning the Lord God and two angels was walking down the road. Hallelujah. Lord, we may be laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of, but we trust the same thing will happen to us. The Lord God will walk right among us with His presence. We may have sparse times, Lord. The pasture may be dried up at times, as it were, Lord. And Sarah may say to Abraham, I think you missed God's will. We've been going through such a hard time. Miss Lot, I seen her the other day, and she had on the prettiest dress. That camel train from Egypt come down through there. And they don't never come up this way. Of course, if they had any ungodly clothes, Abraham wouldn't let his wife bought one of them no way. Help us, Lord. It may be lonely under our oak. It may be difficult under our oak living a separated life. But we'll wait on you, Lord God. But because we've separated ourselves, when you come among us, we'll know it's you. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd like to see the look on Abraham's face that day. He had heard that voice for years. I'd like to see the look on his face when you come up the road and you spoke to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh my. The first time that voice had taken on a flesh that he could see it, he said, oh my Lord. My Lord, would you come in and rest a while? My Lord, would you let me get you a little morsel of bread? My Lord, would you let me wash your feet? Of course, Lot missed that visitation because he'd already left the message, as it were. He was living down in Sodom. He got the two angels down there which preached the gospel message to blind them, but he never did see the Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Lord, can we fix you a little morsel tonight, Lord God? Could we raise our hands in your presence? Could we give you our hearts, our lives, our souls?
Lord Jesus, would you sit down in our tent with us tonight, Father? Though the way may be difficult and it may be alone sometimes, but Lord Jesus, we're not alone. You promised us I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lord Jesus, may you walk among us tonight. May you heal those that are sick. May you lift up those that are down. Encourage those, Lord, that are weary. Father God, we're pitched under the tent as it was. We're sitting here in the cool of the day. May the voice of God come among us. May the breeze off of your presence, Lord Jesus. Mighty Elohim, would you come among us here tonight, Father? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We open our tent doors it was, Lord God. Would you sit down among us? May we fetch a little water. May we pour a little bit of Pentecostal water across your feet tonight, Lord God. May we welcome you in our midst, Father. May we make you feel at home, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've often wondered, how did Abraham feel to feed God a calf sandwich? Lord Jesus, we may not have anything but a calf sandwich as it was, but we'll share with you what we have. Can I wash your feet, Lord God? Can I, as part of your bride, minister to you the word? That's what Abraham was doing in bride type, ministering to Elohim, the word, the word. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands, friends, in His presence. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, I'd love to have been there that day. Let me tell you this, this is a greater day than it was then. Because when the Lord God come up and walked around with Abraham for however long it was, an hour, two or three, He was gone. He's here among us tonight, and we'll take Him home with us. If He lives in your soul, that presence of that mighty God, Lord of mercy, Lord Jesus, He lives right in your soul. You say, oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't feel it like I did 5 years ago. No, I don't either. But I know one thing, His presence is in a greater realm than it's ever been. It's like it's separate from feeling. It's like I used to feel Him more and I sensed Him less. But now I sense Him more and I feel Him less. If it makes sense to you. Oh my. Amen. Let's open our doors at once, friends. Let's raise the tent door of this tabernacle. Let's raise the tent door of our hearts. And let Him come in. Remember Brother Man preaching that in Tulsa in 1960. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he said, Sarah, that morning she got up and she's kind of fussy and kind of grouchy. Oh, she's fussing on Abraham. And he said, it was the devil. It was the devil, because the devil knew the Lord God was coming down that day. And the devil was trying to knock her out of a blessing. Oh, I wonder if he don't try to do us the same way. When we come to the house of God, He'll never fight you about going to Walmart or going to Dollywood, but all hell will break loose when you get ready to go to the house of God. He don't want you to come to church. He don't want you to become part of it. Hallelujah. Lord God. Hallelujah. We worship You tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands, seed of Abraham. Let the mighty Adonai, El Elah, Elohim, glory to God, hallelujah, Yahshua, may He come under our tent tonight. May He walk up and down these, hallelujah, hallelujah, up and down these aisles. May His presence feel as welcome right here in this building as it did in Abraham's tent that day. May Jesus feel so comfortable to you that you and Him, you live such a life, such a godly life, that Jesus can come right there and sit right by you, as it were. Hallelujah! And let you kneel down and wash His feet. Oh, glory to God. May Jesus sit right down at your little table right there and say, fix me a sandwich. Fix me a sandwich, Terry. Fix me a sandwich, Carol. Fix me a sandwich, Janet.
fix me a sandwich, Amos. I want to have a little fellowship with you. Lord, let me fetch a little pan of water. Can I wash your feet? Yes, Abraham. Wash my feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want this place just to be a place that we come for rest. But I want it to be a place where the Lord God meets with us. We want this to be a place where God and His family are worshipped together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Where the presence of God can come here, not only to minister to us, but He comes here to be ministered to. He comes here to be worshipped. He comes here to be adored. He comes here to where His wife. Oh, glory to God. That He can lay His head, as it were, in the lap of His bride, as in the Song of Solomon. He lays His head down in her lap. She's not Delilah. She's not the world. She will not take His glory. But while His head is in her lap, she so is inspired by His presence that she says, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, wake not up nor stir up my love till He please. She is not His domer. She is not His eradicator. She is not the one who has deceived Him. She is His protector. She protects Him. She is, hallelujah, His place of defense. Lord God, Lord Jesus, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give Him your sandwich that you made Him, church. Wash His feet. Look Him in the face, as it were. Hallelujah. Take your moment there with Him. You know how it is at foot washing, is you take your brother, your sister's foot, and you pray over them, and you ask God to bless them and ask God to help them. But we're not praying over him tonight. We want to take his foot, as it were, and we want to look him right in the face and say, great Adonai, my mighty Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah. El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Keeper, my Lifter up of my head, the one encourages me when I'm down, my Healer when I'm sick, my Uplifter whenever I am so weary. Hallelujah. Let's wash His feet tonight, church. Let's minister to Him love and fellowship. Don't think about your needs so much. Don't think about your desires so much right now. Oh, glory to God. But let us minister to the mighty Elohim. It was not Abraham asking God, I want, I want, I want, I want. It was Abraham serving God. And after Abraham served God, God gave Abraham the promise of a body change. I will change you and Sarah, Abraham. I will change you. I will change you. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, mighty God. We worship you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we worship you. I bow before you, my Father, my King. I adore you tonight, Lord God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord Jesus. How great, how holy, how magnificent, how wonderful, how awesome you are, Lord God. Oh, may I wash your feet tonight, mighty Elohim. May I bow before you. May I give you a sandwich. May I give you my praise. May I give you my soul, my mind, my lips. Lord God, mature my love. Use my love. Lord God, this love you deposited in me when I was a little boy, let it grow. May it mature, Lord God, into a man. May it mature into a bride, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name. That's it, children. Minister to him. Minister to him. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rejoice in your presence, living God. Hallelujah. You're worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, living God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. Thou art worthy to receive power and honor and riches and glory. For thou wast slain and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and people and tongue and nation. And we shall reign on the earth. Lord, we worship you. We adore you, dear God. We magnify you. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us to lay aside all envy and strife, all immaturity, Lord. Help us to lay aside everything that displeases you. Lord God, may we mature, may we grow up, Lord. You're not coming for no little baby girl, you're coming for a mature woman to be your wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I bowed on my knees and I cried, holy. Let's worship him together now, saints. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord. Amen. It's in my neck right now. Lord Jesus. I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright. Hallelujah. Oh, when I enter the gate, I cry, holy. You see, I was used to doing it. I did it down here. The angels all made me there. They showed me from mansion to mansion. Glory to God. Since that I saw, yeah. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died. My to the Son of God. I saw when I entered that city, my friends and loved ones, they all knew me well. Oh my, they showed me all through the splendors of heaven. The scenes were too many. Come on, tell him, church. Lord God, you're holy. Lord God, you're holy. Yes, you are, Lord. I sing glory, 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 glory. I sing glory to the Son. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
We fall down.
Yes, Lord.
We lay our crown.
Lord God.
At the feet
Lord Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Oh, Lord God.
The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. found at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Oh, let the blood sing it now.
We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 holy.
God bless you, church.
At the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. The bride cries, holy, holy, holy. Of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry.
Let's sing this just before we leave tonight. Hadn't church been good? Amen. Let's just come back in the morning looking to what the Lord would have for us. But let's bless His name just a little bit more before we leave tonight. As you go, God bless you. Let's sing this. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise.
You are the light, the truth, the way.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Lord, we bless your name.
I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise.
Bless your name.
name.
Prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes. Paul and
Silas,
they prayed that
they
night.
Prayed all night.
And in their pain, they began to sing.
All
the chains were loose, and they were free.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Lord, we bless your name.
In my trial, I bless your name.
We're I give you honor.
Oh, my Lord.
We're gonna give you all the praise.
I give you all my praise, 'cause you
let's sing the second verse together.
Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison,
you're in a prison.
Stay as long as you want to. Amen.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor.
Lord, I give you praise. The truth.